Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everyone. we got an episode for you, and it's a lot. So before we get into all of that, let's do something fun and good and joyful and lovely, which is to shout out our patrons. Oh, we love our patrons. They keep us keeping on through the hard, hard, hard movies like we got this week. And we got a champion for actors' rights. And you absolutely love to see it. I love to have a champion joining the movement. And this week we have Dash Lewis.
Woohoo!
Welcome, Dash. Thank you for all the very important work that you have done, will do as a champion for actors' rights. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dash. We love you. And we also have a new vessel head coming aboard, Timmy Gripsover. Timmy, thank you.
Thank you.
For your support. It means the freaking world to us. We love you so gosh dang much.
Love you so much. We also have several new members of Toni fucking Collette's inner circle.
Ooh!
Lots of people joining the group this week. We have Kat Kloon, Alex H., Maddie, Rachel Zittimer, Rachel Durkitz-Gelman, Leo, Colin Mullet, Terry Garov, Shattering Mashore, Rose Chappelle, Wong Song, Ali, and Karen Gonzalez. You guys.
Wow, we love you all.
Are the best.
Wowie.
And I just got to do a quick Karen Gonzalez. That's my mom.
Oh, it's
mom. I got to give her credit. My dad is a patron. They'd share it. But I guess she just decided she wanted to have her own freaking name in the circle. And I respect that. And I'll just come out and say, Mom, don't listen to this episode. You'll hate it. You will hate it.
This episode is not for moms.
It's not for moms. It 100% is not for my mom. 100%.
Not for my mom either. If you're listening, Mom, turn this off right now.
My mom also. I don't think you're going to like it.
So if you're one of our moms, turn this episode off. And if you're not one of our moms, let's get it
good
going,
luck.
Baby.
Good luck.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy, and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Too Scary, Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and I am too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Henley, and I'm also too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and I like watching scary movies. So I do just that, and then I tell you about them.
And we reap the benefits.
We do. We really do.
Oh, I love you guys. So good to see you.
I love you guys. Oh, man. So what's up with us? Today I had a thought that I still stand by, but this is sort of where I'm at, mm-hmm. which is, why do weeks have 7 days? Do you know what I mean?
There's gonna be a reason. I don't know what the reason is.
Probably for farming.
There we go. That's
probably
where our mindset should be.
But Joel and I were talking about how weekends should be longer, and I was like, why is a week even 7 days?
It's true.
Why couldn't it be 8 and then the weekend is 3?
Well, the weekend didn't even exist until the Industrial Revolution, when
so
people were well, for factories, but, really. Because people were working 7 days a week and there were no child labor laws or like worker rights at all. And so
things have been worse than they are right now. Is that what you're saying?
Things were previously worse. The beginning of the 20th century, things were worse. But it was only because of like workers' rights movements that we were able to get a weekend at all.
Should have fought for more.
Should have fought for fucking three
days. 2 days isn't enough.
2 days is not enough.
Oh, man.
Boy.
Workers' rights. Still a lot to do there, guys. I'm real pissed about this fucking $15 minimum wage.
No, the biggest thing is 30 Weekend Sammy. Stand with me on this.
I'm with you on that.
It's the most important thing.
I'm with you on that. And I think we need to raise that minimum wage to... Hear me out. $15 is still way too fucking low.
$15 is way too low. It's like, wait, isn't it only $31,000 a year if you're working 40-hour weeks?
Yeah, it's like not a livable wage.
It's insane. You can't live on that.
Oh my God, it makes me so angry. It makes me so angry that there are all these fucking rich people in power who are pushing against it.
Yeah,
fuck those guys.
Fuck those guys.
Fuck those guys.
Man, fuck those guys.
Mm-hmm.
What else is up with this?
Anyway.
I have a fun story.
Please.
So my mom got me a bird feeder for Christmas. More for my cats than for anything, because she lived here while I was living in Washington. And felt bad for them, because it's a sad little apartment with not a lot for them to do. And so she was like, they really like the birds. If they could just watch some birds all day, that might be really fun for them. And so I hung it up and no birds have really been coming to it. And so I was like, well, let me maybe sprinkle some birdseed around the stoop and they'll just kind of eat it off there. And the other night, both my cats were like faces pressed against the window. And like scratching at the window, like going crazy. I was like, something's out there. There's a stray cat that comes by a lot. I assumed it was that, but I didn't see that cat anywhere. And anytime I opened the door, there was like nothing to be seen. And then I'd close the door and they'd start doing it again. And eventually I like sat with them staring at the spot. And I was like, I'm going to fucking see whatever the fuck they're looking at.
Did you at any point get scared that it was like
I did
a
get
ghost?
A little spooked at one point. Yeah.
Yeah,
I did kind of. But eventually I saw the fattest fucking rat. It was.
Oh, I was waiting for a raccoon. A rat is so much worse.
Oh. Just eating all the bird seed.
It was going to town and it like climbed up my little hand railing and faced towards me and my cats. And we all like made eye contact with each other. It was really funny. And honestly, it was very exciting for me. Not a lot goes on in my life. So this was a really fun night. It happened two nights in a row. And I might keep sprinkling the bird seed out there. I feel like,
yes.
I feel
oh
like
my
it's
God,
fun.
Sam, you're going to get more rats.
I think they know. I think they know not to come inside because the cats are like right there.
No, they'll stay outside. Look, I'm gonna make a statement and say I love an LA rat, and and these are different than New York rats, Henley. For sure, they are because often in LA you'll get a tree rat, and let me tell you what, I love a tree rat. You're hanging out outside at night and you hear a little pitter patter and it's running from one tree branch to the other. I love that shit.
There's so many tree rats because of all the citrus trees in LA.
Yes.
They just
yes.
eat up all that citrus.
They
so
love
gross.
It. My favorite experience has been being like back in the, you know, before times, being like at a lovely outdoor dine, a beautiful patio, a fancy restaurant, beautiful patio. And there's just like tree rats running around.
So gross.
I do love it.
I love it too.
So I support this, Sammy. Keep this rat.
My new rat
keep
friend.
This rat.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I think the only thing I want to tell you guys about from my week is that I've been watching a lot of movies, per usual. Of course, no horror movies. Mm-hmm. But recently, I've started to dig into the Studio Ghibli library, which is on HBO Max for anyone that has HBO Max.
I don't even know what that means.
Me neither.
Oh, it's all the Miyazaki films like Spirited Away and Princess Mononoke.
Okay.
And so last night we watched My Neighbor Totoro, aww, which was one of his first ones. And I've never, one of his, it's supposedly his like breakthrough film.
Yeah.
And it's a kid's animated film. Very simple storyline. Nonetheless, you guys, I fucking wept like starting halfway through the movie and just couldn't stop. And Tim and I had just watched like a few nights before that, Dick Johnson is Dead, the documentary, which is like arguably much sadder and way more cause to cry. And I did not shed a tear.
Oh my God.
During that.
Oh my God.
And Tim was the one that was crying while we watched that. And so instead we're watching this like kids film that's like not even that sad. That's like about two young girls like playing with like forest spirits in 1950s Japanese countryside. And for, you know, I just wept the whole time.
It got you.
Really got me.
Sometimes things just will hit you.
It just hit me. It was one of those moments, you know, when you just can't control it.
That's once how it started. I was in Dick Johnson is Dead. I literally, from the opening scene, just never stopped crying, and my eyes hurt afterwards. I was like tired from crying.
Sammy, I feel like you told me that, and I almost feel like I had steeled myself before watching it because
Maybe.
I was like, don't let this get to you. Mm-hmm. Don't let this touch you. Got to shut your feelings down for this movie.
Yeah, sure.
Always a good way to go
Smart.
In.
Smart. could be a pretty good way to go into this week's movie well.
I don't know anything about this except that Emily is dreading hearing about it. That's all I know.
I know very little, and I am terrified.
Well, this week's movie is Green Room. It came out in 2016, an A24 picture, which I forgot. I didn't know that this was A24. Written and directed by Jeremy Saulnier, starring Anton Yelchin, Imogen Poots, Aaliyah Shawkat, Joe Cole, Callum Turner, Macon Blair, and Patrick Stewart.
I forgot this was Anton Yelchin.
Yeah, I think this is his last theatrical film before he died, which is very sad. He's so good in it. And
he's so good, and it was the saddest, wildest thing.
Yeah, that was a really horrible death.
Sad all around.
Bad all around. This Green Room is streaming on Showtime, or you can rent it for $2.99. I have such a clear memory of the first time I saw this movie. Someone had recommended it to me, and it was around Christmas time, so I was wrapping presents, and I was like, I need something on in the background while I, like, wrap presents.
Oh, my gosh.
And I turned this on, and I did not wrap a single present. My jaw was on the floor from, like, start to finish, and I, like, could not take my eyes off the screen. It's, like, the kind of movie that your adrenaline just, like, is pumping. Like, I was so stressed.
Oh my god.
And not a single present was wrapped that night.
Welcome to Cocktail Hour, and boy are you gonna need it, so let's just get right to it. This week we are drinking an Amber Room, which I have just decided is actually a green room. To make an amber / green room, you will need 1.5 ounces of gin, 1/2 ounce of green chartreuse, 1/2 ounce of sweet vermouth, and 2 dashes of orange bitters. You will shake all ingredients with ice and fine strain into a chilled coupe glass. You will garnish with a Luxardo maraschino cherry. And good luck to you, because boy, oh boy, this episode's a doozy, so cheers.
What year did it come out again? Sorry.
2016. I think it, like, premiered at film festivals in 2015 and then was released wide May 2016.
Wow. Completely missed this. Never saw a trailer. Never read anything about it. I know nothing about this movie.
Nothing. And Emily, you just know a little bit?
I just know a little bit.
Okay. embrace ourselves.
Just sort of like a one sentence. Here's what the general plot is of this movie. And
don't even tell me that. I don't even want to know.
I
think we just get fucking right into it. I mean, well, we got to talk about the trivia first.
We'll talk trivia. I think maybe we watch the trailer at the end.
Yeah, let's watch the trailer at the end.
Go in blind.
I am curious. My interest is piqued.
Ooh, baby. But okay, to your point of never having heard of it, this movie, the budget was $5 million and it only made $3.8 million. So this is like, I feel like not a lot of movies that we talk about actually lose money, but this one did. And it was with, I think, Broad Green Pictures first before A24 picked it up. And Broad Green had like no money to do any
marketing,
advertising. So, yeah, I think it didn't get a great
release.
Yeah, they kind of fucked it up. And
it's so popular in the horror community. I feel like it's so well loved.
I think it must have made more money on VOD and shit. And it was on Netflix for a long time. So hopefully they've recouped some costs, because it's a great fucking movie.
That's a lot of star power, too. I feel like that could be where a lot of the cost went.
Right. some more trivia for you. Let me skim through and make sure none of this is spoilery. Okay, so Sir Patrick Stewart said in an interview that when he finished reading the script at his country home in England, it was so terrifying that he locked up his house, turned on the security system, and poured himself a scotch. He then knew that he wanted to play the Darcy banker role because a character that horrifying would be an incredible challenge and make for a compelling movie.
Interest still peaked, baby.
Also, I love to imagine him in his country home.
I know.
Pouring himself a scotch. Like, what a man.
Yeah, just what an on-brand
absolutely
description.
Love it.
You love
yeah.
it. You absolutely love to hear it. Anton Yelchin and Imogen Poots were previously in the remake of Fright Night together.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've been saying that I've seen that movie and it's very fun.
Colin
Farrell is a vampire.
I was going to say Colin. I mean, it's pretty funny, right? I feel like it's
pretty funny. It's
sillier.
It's not that scary, but it is like really fucking Toni Collette. Excuse me.
Oh, my God. I forgot Toni's in it. Patrick Stewart, Imogen Poots, Callum Turner and Joe Cole are all British actors playing American characters. And this one, we just love these. The van in the movie is a 1985 Chevy van G20.
Oh yeah.
It's a 1985 Chevrolet Chevy. That's too.
It's a Chevrolet Chevy, baby.
that's the wrong
classic
thing.
Chevrolet Chevy.
Oh boy. But okay, that's all I've got. And we will edit in the trailer in here. But we're not going to watch it till the end. So listeners, if you don't want to hear anything, skip ahead 90 seconds.
Okay, I'm with the Ain't Rights from Washington, D.C. You guys are hard to find. Why no social media presence?
The music is shared live. It's time and aggression. You got to be there.
Sorry, guys. Got to clear out. Follow me.
And then it's over. Holy shit.
I told you to follow me. Stop!
No! 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 No!
You can't keep us here. You gotta let us go.
We're not keeping you. You're just staying.
We're so fucking dead, guys.
What do we do? Oh, shit.
This will be over soon, gentlemen.
What are they doing?
They're coming.
I can't die here.
So don't.
Okay, so we open on Anton Yelchin waking up in the back of a van. He kind of looks out the windows. It looks like they're surrounded by corn, Emily's least favorite.
Spookiest crop.
Such a spooky crop.
Such a spooky crop. And we get an overhead shot, and the van has like veered off the road and is stopped in the middle of a cornfield. We see three other people in the van. These are all our main characters. They're in a band together called The Ain't Rights.
Good band name.
And I guess the guy driving fell asleep. They're all asleep and they're all waking up. And he fell asleep with the car on. So now the car is out of gas. And it's like early morning. And they are talking about how they need to walk to a nearby diner to get some gas. And the members of the band, there's a lot of characters in this movie, so good luck to you. And
I'll do our best
to try to differentiate them.
You wish us the best.
I wish you guys all the best. I was struggling while watching it, keeping track of who is who. But so there are four people in this band, three guys and a girl. The girl is Aaliyah Shawkat. Her name is Sam. Anton Yelchin is kind of our main protagonist. His name is Pat. And there's two other guys in the band. named Reese and Tiger.
Okay.
So we see the four of them kind of walking to a nearby diner and siphoning gas out of another car, stealing gas basically, and walking it back to their car. So they're like little punks. They're in a punk. They're in a punk.
They ain't right.
They ain't right. They ain't right what they're doing. They eventually meet up with this guy named Tad, who has a big mohawk, and he is a host of like a local radio show, and he's going to interview them. And they sit down for this interview, and he's like recording it and says, you know, you guys don't have any social media presence. Like, why is that? And they're kind of talking about, they're like these purists. They record everything analog. No social media because music is supposed to be like a shared experience in person.
So stupid for a band in 2016. I know. Like, dude, I get it, but come on. Yeah, we like to do this thing where nobody knows we exist.
Hey, they're old school punk rockers.
Sure.
I don't know much about the punk rock scene, but I definitely had a punk rock phase, and I was just like a total poser. I like did not know or listen to any punk music.
God, remember like poser as a term? Do kids still call kids posers? Probably not.
I'm sure they do. Right?
About what?
I mean, I don't know.
That was the biggest fear, to be called a poser. And yet I also was one.
I definitely was one.
Everyone who's 13 is some sort of poser. You don't know who you're always trying on different personalities.
I was exactly 13. That's exactly correct. And boy, did I think that I was hardcore. Little 13-year-old Sammy.
Is that when you cut all your hair off and dyed it black?
Yep.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it was really, really Jessica Chastain and Mama vibes.
Yes, you were.
But okay, so yeah, they've got no social media presence. They're old school. And then Tad asks them, what's your desert island band? Like, you can only listen to one band for the rest of your life on a desert island. And they're all kind of saying like, I don't know, Misfits, Dead Kennedys, kind of, they can't choose. And they're just having some fun at this interview. And they finish up the interview and they're basically saying like, we're out of money. We need to find more gigs so that we can get back home. They're somewhere in the Pacific Northwest. And Tad says, I think I can hook you guys up with a gig through my cousin Daniel, works at a bar closer to Portland. He says, but it's like kind of a neo-Nazi place, but just like, don't talk politics with them. Just like go in and play and you'll be fine. Just like stick with Daniel and don't talk politics with anyone.
Kind of a neo-Nazi place.
Don't go!
And they're like, oh man, they're like, well, are they like burning crosses and shit? Or like, what are we talking? And they're like, he's like, no, it's like, it's fine. Just like, don't talk politics. And
it's fine. They're just Nazis. They're chill. They're just Nazis.
Jesus Christ.
But the gig pays $350 and you'll be matinee Saturday afternoon. Doors are at 1:00. You'll be on at 3:00. And they're like, all right, whatever.
I mean, I would similarly be like, nothing bad happens at 3 p.m.
Right. Daytime, we can be.
It's daytime.
In and out. $350. Great.
You know that scene in horror movies where someone's alone at home, cooking or whatever, watching TV, and a killer is outside watching them through their huge, open, enormous, completely clear windows that for some reason have no blinds or coverings on them whatsoever? Don't let that be you. You need privacy. You need 3-Day Blinds. They are the leading manufacturer of custom window treatments in the US, and right now they are running a buy one, get one 50% off deal. Just set up an appointment and you'll get a free, no obligation quote the same day. And if you're not very handy, that's not a problem because the expert team at 3-Day Blinds handles all the heavy lifting. They design, measure, and install so you can sit back, relax, and leave it to the pros. I feel like sometimes when you hear the word blinds, you might be thinking of broken, loud, dirty dorm room blinds, but I was just looking at 3 Day Blinds' Instagram, and I can assure you that is not what we are talking about here. These are good-looking blinds, shades, shutters, etc. They have thousands of options for any budget or style, no matter your unique need, whether it's motorization, to home automation, room darkening, or child safety. They're going to have something that's going to look gorgeous in your home, and it's going to keep those prying eyes away so you don't have to live in your very own horror movie. Right now, you can get 3 Day Blinds buy one, get one 50% off deal on custom blinds, shades, shutters, and drapery. For a free, no-charge, no-obligation consultation, just head to 3dayblinds.com/2scary. That's buy one, get one 50% off when you head to 3dayblinds.com/2scary. One last time, that's the number 3dayblinds.com/2scary.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
So we see them the next day driving to this bar. It's kind of out in the middle of nowhere in like the woods, like backwoods area. And they pull up on this like little dirt road into this dirt parking lot. And everybody looks like a neo-Nazi. It's not a great vibe.
I hate it.
They get out of the car. They meet up with Daniel, the cousin that Tad had referred them to, that had gotten the gig from them. And Tad had said, like, Daniel and his girlfriend have been crashing here sometimes. And Tiger gets out of the car and says, like, oh yeah, Tad told us to come, like, you and your girlfriend are staying there, I guess. And Daniel, like, grabs Tiger by the throat and he's like, don't fucking talk about that here, like, shut up about that. And he's like, okay man, all right, whatever. And then another guy comes up named Gabe. This is where we're going to start getting a lot of characters.
There are a lot of names.
Gabe is kind of like, seems like he's in charge, and it gets them to go get set up in the green room. He like leads them back to the green room. It's like, put your stuff in here. You'll be on at 3. And they're kind of, the band is kind of getting, you know, bad vibes from everyone. You can tell they're like, not pumped about this gig, but they're like, fuck it.
Should we have accepted this Nazi gig? I don't know. The vibes are bad.
And so they're getting ready to go on, and Pat says, I've got a crazy idea. Or he says, I've got a dumb idea.
Oh, don't do it.
Sorry, I'm already. Which one's Pat?
Pat's Anton Yelchin.
Okay, great, 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 perfect.
So we see them all like give each other a knowing look. And then they go out and go on stage. They're getting their instruments ready. They're like warming up. We see the crowd is probably like 40 or so people. And the bar, by the way, really gross. Dark fluorescent lighting. Even though it's daytime, there's no windows. So it's like all lit by fluorescent lighting. Graffiti everywhere. It's like dirty, and all the graffiti is, there's like Confederate flags, swastikas. It's a gross, not good bar.
I'm only gonna say it one more time, but get the fuck out of there. Just leave. Just leave.
So they start playing their first song. As they're about to start playing, Pat says, actually, maybe this isn't a good idea. And Sam, Alia Shawkat, says, this was your idea. We're fucking doing it. We're fucking doing it, or I'm telling them that you're Jewish. So they start playing, and they play a song called Nazi Punks Fuck Off. And it goes, Nazi punks, fuck off. And all the Nazi punks in the audience are getting pretty mad. And they're throwing glasses at the stage, like spitting at them, flipping them off, saying like, fuck you, what the fuck. Like, this is a Dead Kennedy song, by the way. This is a real song. And we see Pat kind of looking out at the audience, and there are two girls and Daniel, the cousin, kind of whispering to each other, kind of looking secretive. And we see Gabe, the guy in charge, kind of eyeing them from across the bar too, like seeing what they're doing. And Daniel like passes one of the girls something and she like puts it in her pocket. And Pat's just like watching this exchange kind of suspiciously. And they finish that song and everyone in the audience is like pissed at them. And they're like, thank you, that was a cover. And then they start playing their next song, which is more the right kind of song that they should be playing, I guess. And the audience, they win them back over. The audience starts moshing. Everyone's having a great time now. So they finish their gig, and as they're walking back into the green room, all their stuff has been moved out of the green room into the hallway. And this guy is like, he pays them their money and he's like, hey, follow me. Sorry, we had to move your stuff out of the green room for the headliner. The headliner's name is Cowcatcher. So they're starting to leave. They like start picking up their stuff and they're like, oh yeah, no worries. We'll get out of here. They start leaving and Sam says, oh, I forgot my phone. And Pat says, oh, I'll go back and grab it for you. And goes back, opens the door to the green room, goes back in, grabs the phone off the counter and turns. And we see like a group of people all looking really shocked that he's in there. We see a girl, two big dudes, and it's the two girls that were like having the exchange out on the floor. And mm-hmm. then so one of the girls is looking at Pat. And the other girl is dead on the floor with a knife coming out of her skull.
Oh.
And they all kind of look at each other like, what the fuck's going on? And the girl who's still alive, this is Imogen Poots. Her name is Amber. Amber looks at Pat and says, call the police. And Pat dials 911 on the phone. And all the other two guys are like, fuck that, like, get him. And they're yelling. And then there's two other guys outside, the guy that was paid them and was they were following. His name's Big Justin and he's fucking huge. And then Gabe is now back over there. And so Pat dials 911, starts running as they're like grabbing him. They're like, no, fuck, don't let him fucking call. He calls 911 and gets through and is like, there's been a stabbing. At this place, like, please come. Gabe gets the phone out of his hand and the rest of the band is like, what the fuck's going on? Because they're outside in the hallway and haven't seen what's happening yet. Big Justin is like, I told you to fucking follow me. And then he basically like corrals all of them. And he's like, everyone get in the fucking room. So now they're all pushed into the green room, see what's happened. And he locks the door behind them. So now they're all locked in this room together.
No, I hate it. Oh, Emily, we have to listen to the rest. There's no getting out of it now. It's just going to get so much
Earlier,
worse.
Earlier, I thought we could get out of it, but now I know that we can't.
Oh, no.
So everyone's panicking in the room and Gabe is like, it's okay. Like, stay calm. Everybody stay calm. It's fine. You just can't fucking, you can't leave yet. You can't leave. Like, I'll be right back. And he goes out and we see him go out to like the office. That's like a little mobile unit outside. And he goes there and comes back with a gun. And they're all like, whoa. And he's like, it's okay. Like, I just like, you guys can't leave.
So it's not okay, my dude.
Reese is like, you can't keep us here, man. You can't fucking keep us here. And he's like, we're not keeping you here. You're just staying. You're staying. And like, we need to figure this out. And the two other guys that were in the room already with the dead girl look very scary. They are from the band Cowcatcher. And so now everyone's kind of like yelling at each other. Sam starts crying and the phone rings again and it's the cops calling back because he had hung up on them. But the phone is now in Gabe's hand. Gabe like waves the gun at everyone. Is like, everyone shut the fuck up. Answers the phone, says, hi, we got cut off earlier. Goes outside. We don't hear the rest of that conversation.
Don't the cops just have to show up?
Yeah, I mean, unless I think unless he says something on this conversation that's like,
but like,
it's all okay.
But you can't trust that.
I know, it's true.
You have to show up.
Yeah. Well, don't worry. They might.
I'm worried.
I mean, yeah, you should be worried.
Yeah, I'm worried. Can't trust the cops either, so. Okay, anyway. Mm-hmm.
So everyone, tensions are super high. We see Gabe again go out to the office and talk to kind of an accountant guy whose name is Clark. We all keeping track of all these names.
Oh boy.
Got them all.
And he says, I need $600. Clark says, you just checked out $350. And he's like, yeah, someone's fucking dead. Like, I need $600. And he's like, okay, gives him $600. Back in the room, Sam says, is looking at the girl on the ground, says, maybe she's not dead. Like, there's not. Or she says, maybe she's not dead. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, fucking right. Like, there's a knife in her head. And she says, yeah, but there's, like, no blood. And one of the guys from Cowcatcher grabs the knife in her head, drags her on the floor with the knife, and then pulls it out, and it pours blood. And he's like, there's the blood. And it's, like, so scary. He's evil. And Big Justin is in there, and he's like, what the fuck, man? Like, what are you fucking doing? And we can see that this guy has, like, no remorse for what has happened.
Perfect. So they're in a room with a psychopath. That's great. Great news.
We see that the other girl, Amber, is, like, completely freaked out. She's crying. She's like, oh my fucking God. Like, she's not doing well either. And back outside, we see Gabe with two little skinhead kids. I mean, I guess young adults. They're probably 20. And he's like, all right, aim for the side or whatever. Like, you'll get your $600 when you come back out of prison. The knife is small enough that you're not going to do long time. And they stab each other. Or one of them stabs one of them. And right after that, the cops pull up and we have a stabbing that we can report to them now. So,
got it.
Yeah. The cop gets out of the car. Is like, are you the victim? Both get down on your knees. She arrests them. And at the same time, Patrick Stewart pulls up and his name is Darcy. He is the owner of the bar.
Uh-oh.
And he has such a fucking scary vibe in this movie. I mean, obviously. But
he's such an incredible actor, but it's true. He never plays like a straight up fucking scary villain.
Yeah.
No, he never does. And he would be so great at it.
He is like, good at it.
He has such presence. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's he wearing?
They're all wearing like punk little Nazi clothes, like militia jackets and shit, like green.
Does he look
green
cool?
Army jackets.
I mean, he looks like a Nazi, but does he like?
He looks fucking scary. I mean, his demeanor.
I'm just trying to picture
just
him
so
dressed
even,
like a Nazi.
He's very like even keel in it, and
how's
like,
his American accent?
It's not bad.
Is it safe to say? Will we agree when I say that he's hot? We feel like that's safe to say.
I don't disagree. I've never.
Am I alone on this island?
not in this movie. I feel like after hearing about this, you're not
no,
gonna.
No, I don't think that this is hot. But just like he looks so good. He's how old is he? He looks so good.
He does look good.
He looks good. He looks good for sure. He's been old since I was a baby.
He's always been old. But I think is hot.
I think he's hot. Okay, fine. We'll do a poll. That's one that's worth a poll.
So he comes in and like very quickly starts taking charge. And he's like, you can see that everyone totally defers to him. Like everyone immediately just like does what he tells them to do. He's like, give him some space. Give the cops some space to do their jobs. Everyone like backs up, gives him room. He has a commanding presence right off the bat. Back in the room, Gabe says, okay, Cowcatcher, clear out. And so the two guys that were in there start leaving. Amber starts also trying to leave. Gabe says, not you, you stay. And They head out, and as the one that pulled the knife out of her head is walking out, he like turns back around to face Pat and the band and says, "Your guys' set was pretty good." And he's like, "What?" And he's like, "What was the second to last song you played called?" And he says, "Toxic Evolution." He's like, "That song was fucking hard." He says, "That's the song I did her to."
Oh.
And then he walks out. And it's very upsetting.
Fuck, that's gross.
So we can't play that song anymore.
Gonna have to take that out of the repertoire.
Wait, does that mean that, just to clarify, do we think that means that's the song he killed her during, or did he like have sex with her first and then
kind of thought that
her?
For a second, but no, I don't think so. I think he just means killed her.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So they leave. So now in the room, it is Big Justin, who, by the way, Gabe has given the gun to. So he's like guarding the door with a gun. And it's our four band members and Amber now are in the green room. Outside, we see Darcy he's pissed. The cops have left. And he's now talking to Gabe, saying like, who knows they're here. They're going through their van, looking through their belongings. And
now would be a great time to have posted on social media.
<I know>, right? Excellent point.
That's a great point. This movie is an argument for the importance and benefit of social media.
Yes. Though probably you wouldn't want to post about playing at a neo-Nazi bar. So maybe don't play at the neo-Nazi bar.
I think that's a bigger lesson to
be
learned.
Are those like legally okay? I guess they are. Just to be like, yeah, we're a Nazi place.
I don't fucking know. I mean, the cops came and they're right. They didn't
and they're
do
like swastikas on the fucking walls.
Right.
That's insane to me.
It is really crazy.
Anyway.
As they're going through their van, they find the like siphoning materials, like a gas jug and tubing. And Darcy's like, okay, this is good. This is good. We can use this. And he says, is there a no trespassing sign out front? And says there's a beware of dog sign. And he's like, even better. They like are doing fast talking and like making plans. And it's kind of confusing, but you just get the sense that like they've got a fucking plan that they're going to execute quickly, and it's not good. So now back at the green room, Gabe is on the other side of the door in the hallway talking to them, and he tells Justin to give them the gun. And Justin's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like they're going to rush me, and like they're trying desperately to get out. And he says, take the bullets out and give them the gun, like don't shoot them. Don't shoot them. And so Big Justin empties the bullets out of his gun, hands them the gun, and they're talking to Gabe through the door, and they're like, where are the cops? And he says, it takes a long time out here. Like, we're out in the middle of nowhere. It, like, takes them a while.
They didn't see the cops come at all.
They didn't see them come, no.
Did they see the fake stab? Not the fake stabbing, but the, like, side stabbing?
Probably not.
No.
No, no, no,
no. Okay.
No, the green room is like in the back of this bar, and there's no windows or anything. So it's like,
so as far as the band knows, Gabe is like sort of on their side and is just like, hang tight. The cops are coming. Okay.
Yeah. And I will say Gabe has the like friendliest vibe out of any of them. Everyone else is like
a Nazi you can trust. What about Dan, the brothers of the guy?
Daniel?
Daniel.
We don't know where he is right now. He's not really
we haven't seen him
in the picture. We saw him outside kind of greet them, but
and he was with those girls.
Yes.
Okay.
But he didn't.
Okay,
we haven't seen him since, so we're not sure where he is right now.
Okay.
And inside the band is also kind of having this conversation. Who knows we're here? Like no one that gives a shit. Like no one fucking knows we're here. And there's yelling through the wall, like we're not opening the door until the cops get here. Like we're not fucking opening that door. Reese is kind of like, the longer that we stay here, like the worse our situation is, and so we need to like start making some moves. And they rush Big Justin, And it takes like three of them to wrestle him down. And Reese gets him in kind of a head slash arm lock, like holding his arm at an angle where he could break his arm easily, and has his like legs wrapped around his neck. And Darcy is now also on the other side of the door with Gabe, and we hear them kind of hearing this commotion. Darcy's yelling, like, what's going on in there? The reason they rushed him is because they want to get the bullets from him out of his pocket for the gun. They get the bullets. So now Sam is holding the loaded gun, aiming it at Justin, and Reese is holding him in a headlock, in a bind. Darcy is pissed. He hits Gabe and says, well, we're going to have to do it here and we'll stage it up the road.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Then Darcy and Gabe go back into the like office area and to Clark, the guy that's like in charge of the money, I guess, and says, have you fed them yet today? There's a lot of like sentences that we don't like, and says, no, like they'll be able to do their job. They're professionals.
Oh, God.
And he says, like, you'll be paid handsomely. And then he says, find Daniel. We need some of the squad, red laces only. And this is something that was in the trivia that I saved for right now. Red boot laces are mentioned a couple of times. Red boot lace color is an important signal in skinhead culture, indicating the wearer has shed blood for the skinhead movement.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Racist skinheads will often randomly attack non-whites to earn their red laces.
Wow!
That's so fucked.
Yeah. Yeah, so I didn't know what that meant while I was watching the movie, but yeah, he says, like, red laces only. And...
Ugh. Well, now we fucking
now
know.
Now we fucking
so
know,
thanks.
And it's not good.
It's not good. Emily, it's only going to get worse.
Now I'm just spiraling about just like
the fact that that's a real
Nazis,
thing. Yeah.
Like fucking skinheads who
yeah,
all exist.
That's very real.
It's very real.
I don't know. Keep going.
It's going to get a lot worse. I'll tell you that.
Okay. Really cool.
We haven't even gotten to the bad stuff yet.
Okay.
So back in the green room, Pat kind of turns to Amber and says, I'm going to search her pockets. Like, is that okay? Like basically asking her, you can tell that they're close friends and her friend has died and he wants to search her pockets. And she nods at him and says, that's okay. And he finds the thing that Daniel had given her. And it's a folded up napkin that says Fleischwolf on it. And they're kind of like, Fleischwolf, what the fuck is that? Nobody really knows what it means, but that's all she has on her. They ask Amber, are there any other ways out of this room? And she says, no. They turn to Big Justin and say, empty out your pockets. He empties them out and then they're like, no, turn them inside out so we can actually see that they're empty. And he does. And there was a hidden box cutter and throws a box cutter on the floor. Oh, God, my least favorite weapon.
It's one of the worst blades.
It's a horrible blade.
It's a horrible
and the name itself,
it's
a box
so little
cutter.
And sharp.
It's so little and sharp. Mm-hmm. And so they get the box cutter from him, and then the power goes out.
No.
And
come on.
It's completely dark, and they all kind of freak out for a second, but we see that Reese sees light coming from below the floorboards and he's kind of looking at that, and then they Amber like lights a lighter and makes Big Justin smoke a cigarette, like hands him a cigarette and is like, just like keep an eye on where the glowing part is.
Smart.
Yeah, it is pretty smart.
And maybe he'll really, really, really quickly die of lung cancer.
Good idea.
Maybe this is the straw that breaks the camel's back.
Could be.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Could be. Fingers Good crossed.
Idea. Fingers crossed.
And pretty quickly, the power comes back on. Reese is saying, like, so there's something under the floorboards. Like, I saw daylight. Like, maybe there's a way out if we, like, break through the floor. Maybe there's a crawl space underneath or something. Outside, we see Darcy coming back into the bar. He kind of walks up on stage and everyone cheers for him. Like, you could, like, everybody knows who he is. He's clearly...
Oh, right. There's still, like, there's regular still, people
there's still
in
like
the bar.
50 people in the bar, yeah. And it's loud, and there's like metal, like thrash metal playing the whole time, like very stressful and loud.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, and Darcy is now realizing like we got to get everybody out of here. So he gets up on the stage and he's like, we had a power outage. We can't get the whatever back on. So we're just going to call it for today. Like, come back tomorrow. We'll have free entry and hell, like free drinks from 12 to 2. And everyone cheers and they're excited and everyone starts filing out. Gabe says to Darcy, like, are you worried about Cowcatcher? Do you think they're going to talk? And he says, I think they have other priorities, and pulls some baggies of heroin out of a safe and is like, give them this and tell them that can be like in exchange for them laying low for a few days until this all blows over. So Gabe walks out to the car where they are, hands them the heroin, and they just kind of like nod and they're like, okay. Yeah. So I guess they're not going to talk. I mean, they're the ones that killed her, so.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't understand why they are worried about them talking. I guess they don't want them to brag about murdering someone or something.
I think it implicates them because they know that it happened on their property. Like, it would be like you.
Right. And they protected them.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense.
Darcy and Gabe go back to the green room door. So they're again having this conversation through the door. Again, Pat's like, where are the fucking cops, man? And he says, he says, the cops have come and gone. It got complicated. And Darcy like starts talking quietly, which I think is interesting. He's like, my voice is getting a little hoarse. Like, is it okay if I talk like this, like at a regular volume? And they're like, yeah. And for some reason, that's like scarier. I'm just like calmly, quietly, like talking to them through the door rather than like yelling. Yeah. It's stressful. And so he says, and can we please just choose like one person to talk to me? So I'm not like talking to five people at once. And so they elect Pat as kind of the spokesperson. And Pat is like, just to be clear, like the police are coming back, right? And Darcy says, the police have come and gone. And he says, well, that's what concerns us, man.
Oh, honey.
And Darcy says, you know, here are the facts. Like, we have a lot of guns here. We have a lot of guns and we outnumber you. And we just want you gone. Like, we don't want you hurt, but you just need to get the fuck out and you need to get out of here. And he's like, how do we know they have guns? Like, they might be lying. And Amber is like,
oh my Amber's God, they like, have fucking guns.
Amber says they absolutely like 1,000,000% have guns.
Also, like, it's not a real offer for sure.
Right.
But take the offer.
Yeah, what are you obviously. Fucking do?
Okay, man, I'm gone. Mm-hmm. I'm gone. Mm-hmm.
So then Darcy yells in, that gun is unregistered. And like, I didn't want that gun in the picture to begin with. So like, can you throw the gun out? And Amber says, ask if you can like trade the gun for a cell phone. And they're like, no, like no way. Just give us the gun. And then Darcy says, for all I know, like I come to my bar and there's an out of town band here with an unregistered gun and a dead girl and a hostage. And like, I think I'm within my rights to protect my bar. And they're all like, oh fuck, man, we're so fucked. And so they decide they're like, okay, we'll give you the gun, we're gonna keep the ammo. And Darcy says, fine, safer for everyone, that's fine, just like hand it out. And they tell Big Justin to lay back down. They put him back in a headlock for the moment that the door will be open.
And what leverage do they think they have in this?
I think, like, they say that. They think they're like, we have no leverage. They don't.
Why are we locking? Like, why don't we just like go like, okay, let us go. Like,
yeah, what are they trying to get out of the situation except just to leave? Just let us leave.
I think they're maybe thinking they can get out through the floorboards so that they don't have to go out and face them head on.
Okay. Yeah, they're just sort of generally
they're just kind of buying time, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Okay.
And so they're like, okay, we're going to hand you the gun, like step back from the door. There's like a little like vent at the bottom of the door so they can see their feet. And so Amber crouches down and looks and sees that Darcy does step back away from the door. He's like, yeah, get away from the door. He opens it a little bit and can't like quite fit his hand out. And he's like, I'm just going to throw it. And he's like, okay, that's fine. And he opens it a little bit more. And as the angle of the vent turns, Amber sees like two more sets of boots standing right next to the door. And she says, they're going to kill us. They're going to kill us. And at that moment, all three of them like bust at the door. And you see someone just grabs Anton Yelchin's arm with the gun. And there's a struggle. And they're trying to close the door and they're trying to get the gun. And you hear Anton Yelchin just start screaming and screaming and screaming and screaming. And it's this big, very stressful moment. And they're telling him, hold on to the gun, hold on to the gun. That's like why he's screaming, because they're like, we need a weapon. They're going to try to kill us. Hold on to the gun. And eventually they get Anton Yelchin's arm back and are able to lock the door. Anton Yelchin is screaming bloody murder. Oh, and we get a look at that arm, and he has been sliced in like 8 different places.
Ah!
And his hand is almost completely off. It's dang. It's good. They've gone through the bone, and his whole arm, his whole hand is flopped off.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. It's oh my God.
This is so bad. This is also the worst for Emily.
Oh my God.
It's so bad. And he has lost the gun, obviously, but that's why they were like, that's why it's so deep, was he tried to hold on to the gun for so fucking long that they almost cut his entire hand off. He's screaming. Tiger's trying to calm him down. He's like, breathe, breathe, breathe. He's like completely losing it, obviously. Everyone is screaming and like panicked. Sam's like, put pressure on it, put pressure. They like wrap towels around it. It's like, you can see like the fat in the arm. Like it's like,
oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh my God. It's really very bad. The makeup is like incredible though. I mean, it looks so real. It's so, so bad. This is the part that I remember the most. Oh, there's a few other parts, but this is the part when I was like wrapping presents where I was just like, Jesus fucking Christ. Oh my God. It's so horrifying.
Jingle bells, jingle bells.
Oh my God. So they slide a couch in front of the door. And like barricading themselves
in. Yeah, that'll work.
And you just hear Darcy say, this will be over soon, gentlemen. And you hear them like walk away. And then at that moment, Big Justin gets up, says, I'll fucking kill you. He grabs that box cutter and he goes for Amber. And the two other guys, Tiger and Reese, grab him like each kind of by one arm and are yelling at Amber, like, grab the box cutter, grab the box cutter. They've like they're grabbing his arm, holding it still, so she's able to rip the box cutter out of his hand. And then again, Reese gets him in a like chokehold this time and is strangling him and says to Sam, tell me when he's out. We see him pass out and Sam says he's out, and then 5 seconds later he bursts back awake.
Yeah.
And she's like, he's not out. He strangles him again. Big Justin like throws up while he's being strangled. He's like choking on vomit, and then he passes out for real. And Amber is staring at him, and Sam says, how do we know when he's dead or something, like, how do we know when it's long enough? And Amber takes the box cutter and slices open his stomach. And it's like butter. Like, it doesn't, they don't even put a sound effect in it. It's just like a clean slice and his whole stomach just opens up.
Why would you do that?
And they're all... I mean, you can tell that Amber's like fucking pissed. Like she hates these people. They just killed her friend. And
yeah, do we ever get a moment? Are we going to get... I'm sorry, I'm screaming. I'm like losing my mind. Are we going to get a moment where they say like, hey, Amber, what happened? Why are you here? Happened? Why are you here? How did your friend die? Like, tell us what you fucking know.
Yeah, we'll get some more info. They like don't trust her right now. And
because I feel like that's question number one for me.
Question number one. How'd this start? And the stomach, don't cut open someone's stomach. You're then trapped in the room with. No, thank you.
Yeah,
no,
slice thank that throat. You. Come on, just slice that throat.
This room is bad.
There's a lot of bad stuff in this room.
Bad room.
This room smells bad. This room is bad.
Mm-hmm. Outside, Darcy is talking to the red laces, I guess. There's about 10 or 12 guys outside. He's basically giving them some ground rules and saying, you know, no guns. He's like collecting their guns. He says blades only.
Absolutely wonderful.
Emma's favorite.
I absolutely love to hear that.
Inside, we see Pat is losing a lot of blood. His face is getting very pale. He's not well. And outside, Clark pulls up with some dogs, some pit.
Do they look hungry?
Some pit bulls, some hungry looking pit bulls. Yes, they do. And Reese and Tiger start kind of trying to break through the floorboards to see if they can get out that way. They use a lamp to smash through it. They're finally able to smash through the floor. Again, they're like, there's sunlight coming. And Sam's like, no, like, what fucking time is it? Like, it's not. And Amber's like, no, it's not. It's not sunlight. That's not sunlight. And they go in and it is a drug lab. And it's all fluorescent lights down there. No daylight. It is a heroin lab. And so they kind of go, oh, this is fucking why. Like this, it's not about us. They don't want cops coming here because there's a fucking huge drug lab here.
Mm-hmm.
Sam is like desperately looking for an exit down here. There is one little ladder that goes up to an exit, but it's locked from the outside. We see that they have locked them in. They've locked all the doors from the outside. And she's like, can we crawl through the vents? Reese is like, there's 6-inch vents. Like, good luck. Like, we're not fucking fitting through there. And they climb back up into the green room. On his way up, Tiger grabs a roll of duct tape and takes it to start taping up Pat's arm. And he tapes it up really tight, but oh my god, I can't think about like having to take that tape off. It's so
Sammy,
all I could think of. We're not gonna see it come off, but like imagine that's gotta awful. Happen.
That's awful.
That's the plan.
I mean, hopefully it's done at a hospital and they put you.
Yeah,
he's under, and I feel like
and he's not awake.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or we're just amputating the arm, maybe.
Yeah, he's not. He's not keeping that.
Yeah,
he's not keeping that hand.
Yeah. Oh God. Reese says, "Okay, we're fucking leaving. Like, we're getting out of here. We just got to go." Sam is like, "No, like, we're not prepared. We're not ready." And Reese says, what do you think they're fucking doing out there? Like, they're getting ready. Like, the longer we wait, the worse our chances are. We need to just fucking rush them. And yeah, like, we're probably not all going to survive, but hopefully we don't all die. Like, our only chance is just to fucking go for it.
Oh my God. This is so awful.
And Sam says something like, why didn't they just shoot us through the doors? Like, why haven't they shot us yet? And Pat says they need us found, not they like we can't go missing. They need our bodies found. And he says, when Reese says we got to go out there like guns blazing, basically, except they only have one little handgun. Pat says, got to do it like paintball, like with Rick Silva when we went paintballing. Like, we didn't have enough people to fill out the team, so they paired us against these like military guys, and the first two rounds we just got fucking demolished. Like, not a single casualty on their side. Like, they just destroyed us. I was just cowering in the corner until they came and, like, shot me with the paintballs. And then Reese is like, okay, we don't have fucking time for this story. Like, let's go. And Amber is, like, looking at him and is like, was that a pep talk? And he's like, yeah, it's okay. It's all right. Like, we can go. And
yeah, no, I'm good. I feel good.
He's getting loopy, losing a lot of blood. And they're doing their best to kind of get weapons, like gear up with weapons. Like, Sam grabs one of the fluorescent light tubes and smashes it. So she kind of has like a little stabby thing. And one of them has the gun. They kind of take like a broken chair leg or something. Someone tries to hand something to Pat and he's like, no, thanks. I'm just gonna run. They're like, okay. And Sam says, fuck it. Simon and Garfunkel. And they're like, what? And she's like, that's my desert island band. It's Simon and Garfunkel. And Reese says, mine's Prince.
And, oh, great.
And Amber says, Madonna and Slayer. And they're all like pumped up, feeling good. They're like, let's fucking do it. They open the door. No one's standing right there. They make their way down the hall. The bar's empty. And they're kind of like slowly stepping through, walking towards the front door. And in that front door comes Clark with a pit bull and unleashes it and says, fuss. And the dog charges at Tiger. And they try to shoot at it. I think they do hit it, but it doesn't stop it. And it, oh boy, does it rip Tiger's throat out. And you see all of it. It shows, it just goes straight for the throat and could like chews through his whole neck. You see his neck like open up basically.
Ew.
And
oh my God, I have to tell my mom not to listen to this episode.
Yeah, no, this is not for moms.
This is not for moms.
This one's not for moms. And I wasn't sure until right now.
And so everyone is screaming. They're screaming for Tiger, but he's done for. And so they all kind of scatter. And Reese finds a small little window and opens it and is able to kind of squeeze himself through, and he drops out of it, and immediately there's two people there and just stab him like a whole bunch of times. And the guy that's stabbing him, Gabe, then runs up and like pulls him off of him and is like, that's enough. And you can see the guy that was stabbing him was like very thrilled to be stabbing him, and Gabe is like, man, like fucking stop, like you got him.
Dude, you like stabbing too much. We got to talk about that later. There's a correct amount of stabbing, and then there's too much stabbing.
You've crossed a line here. After the pit bull kills Tiger, it goes for Amber, and she is on the stage. She like runs onto the stage, and it gets her leg, and she knocks her over, and it's like chewing into her leg, and she's screaming, and she grabs like a mic stand, and she's hitting it with the mic stand, and the mic falls out and lands on a speaker and makes like really loud feedback.
That's how you fuck with a dog.
And the dog stops, and then Pat, walks up and just holds the mic to it like close so it gets louder, and the dog runs out.
If only all of their enemies were dogs.
If only.
It'd be solved.
And he grabs a set list from the ground. He sees that Cowcatcher's set list had a song called Fleischwolf.
Aha!
Sam tries to opens one door. She grabs a fire extinguisher. She opens a door and there's a guy there with a machete, and she uses the fire extinguisher. He kind of stumbles backwards, gets it all in his eyes, and she just locks the door again behind him. He's like, okay, well, I can't go out that way.
Fire extinguisher is a good weapon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you can hit them with it. Right. And once it empties, it's less of a good weapon. But that's smart.
Yeah. And so Pat and Amber kind of run back towards the green room and meet up with Sam there. Sam says they're fucking everywhere. Where's Tiger? Where's Reese? And they shake their head. No, like they didn't make it. She's like, fuck. Like, and they just decide, they just go back in the green room and lock it behind them again and push the couch in front. And they're like, that didn't fucking work. Like, there's too many of them. And then he shows Sam the set list and says Fleischwolf is on the set list. And Amber says it means meat grinder. And yeah, it's their one of their songs. And outside we see...
Amber, what's your deal?
What does it mean, Amber? What does it mean?
So, okay. So in the green room, it's Amber, Sam, and Pat.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Got it.
And...
our only survivors.
Yeah. And so then outside, we see that they're going to send in Daniel. So Daniel has his red laces, apparently. So he's in this inner circle and way different from Tony's inner circle. So different.
No, very different circle.
So
a very
different circle. Don't even want to be associated with this. Let's the term call this, inner circle. Yeah,
this is not an inner circle. Let's this
call,
is
it's
a,
not a circle. It's a
it's
group.
A fucking yeah group.
It's a group.
A hate group.
It's hate a hate group.
And Daniel hasn't really been around and doesn't totally know what's going on. He's like, what's fucking going on? And he says, Darcy says, they killed one of our own. And he says, which one or who? And Gabe turns to him and says, Emily. And you see Daniel look really mad. And he's like, well, what are we fucking doing? Like, let's get in there. Let's go fucking kill them. And Darcy again is like, no guns, blades only, sloppy's fine, try not to hit the bone. And he turns to Clark and is like, can we send another dog in there? Can we send two dogs in there? Fucking finish the job. And he says, if I send two fight dogs in there, what do you think they're gonna do? It's like, I can only send one at a time, and we need to kill that feedback first. So someone needs to go in first, get the mic off of there. Daniel's like, I'll fucking go in. And so Daniel and one other guy go in, and they both have like machetes, and they make their way to the green room, bust the door down, and immediately he's like, where's Emily? Where the fuck's Emily? And Amber points to her and he's like, which one of you fucking did it? And she says, Worm did it. And he's like, bullshit. And she's like, what the fuck did they tell you? Like Worm did it. That's the whole thing. That's why we're all here. They let Worm go. And they're going to kill us because we saw him fucking do it. And you see Daniel kind of like figuring it out. And the other guy's like, what's going on? What's going on right now? Like, what's happening? And Amber says they killed her because they found out that she was going to leave. But she didn't tell them that she was going to leave with Daniel. And so we find out that Daniel and Emily were planning on leaving this.
That's why he couldn't talk about crashing at the brothers, because they're,
So Daniel tells the other guy to leave. He's like, get out of here. And the other guy's pretty confused and he doesn't know what's going on. And he leaves and goes outside and he goes up to Darcy and he's like, they're just fucking talking. Like, I don't know what's happening right now. And Darcy puts it together and turns to Gabe and is like, what's going on with Daniel and Emily? And he said nothing concrete, but yeah, it did seem like they were planning something. And he finds Daniel's car and opens up the trunk and finds all their stuff packed. And he's like, little lovebirds, like shaking his head. And then he finds a baseball bat wrapped in plastic, in like an aluminum bat, and basically says, like, do you recognize this? And Gabe's like, no. And he's like, this was supposed to disappear last year. Like, they were basically planning to like turn them in for something. This is like evidence of a previous crime. And so he kisses Gabe and he's like, Worm fucking saved us all. Like, this would be really bad if they had gotten out with this.
Ooh.
So Daniel kind of joins their team now and he's like, all right, like, I know something you guys don't know, like, follow me. And they walk out to the bar and he pulls out a big shotgun from below the bar and a bunch of bullets. And actually, no, he just pulls out bullets and he's reaching for where a shotgun would be. And he gets shot in the side of the head. His like whole face gets blown off. And the shotgun was there with the bartender. And Amber again grabs a mic stand and like knocks the shotgun out of the guy's hand. Pat grabs a machete and machetes him in the throat, and they kill him and grab the shotgun from him. And at that moment, Clark comes in with another dog. They aim the shotgun right at them, and Clark goes out, and he like realizes now they have two guns, and so he doesn't let the dog in. He just steps back out. We hear Darcy say, "Now you can shoot Amber and Daniel, just not the other two. Like we need the, like forensics doesn't matter for Amber and Daniel for some reason. I don't totally get why, but
they'll like disappear them."
Yeah, I guess
so. Part of the narrative.
Yeah, yeah. And Amber, Sam, and Pat are like, we got to just fucking move. Like, we've got guns. This is our best chance. Like, our chances aren't getting any better as time goes on. So, like, let's just fucking go. So they just go out the front door. There's like seven now of the red laces. And they just have like a shootout. Darcy yells, don't shoot them. Like, you can only shoot Amber. Amber gets shot in the leg. And then Clark sicks the dog on them again. Dog gets Sam right at that throat again.
And, oh, my God.
And Pat and Amber just run back inside. They're like, oh, fuck. They run back into that green room.
Oh, my God.
And lock the door again behind them.
Luckily, I've turned a corner with this movie, you guys. I've turned a corner.
Okay, and now I'm really fully
desensitized.
Yeah.
Great. So
great.
So, okay. The dog
remains
killed
to be seen
someone else.
For me, but I do think for me personally, it hopefully can't get worse than the hand.
The hand, I think, is the worst part. Yes.
That's
the hand
really
and the first dog.
I really didn't like the visual of the dog taking a throat out. It's, that was not.
Oh, well, I'm not picturing it.
I was not a good. That was not a good situation.
Those are the two worst parts, I think.
Right. So we're just gonna have fun from here on
smooth sailing
from here on out. So they're back in the green room. They're taping up her leg. She's been shot and bitten by a dog, and so she's kind of limping around. They're both not doing well.
She gets shot in the same leg that she got bit on.
I think actually different legs. So she's really not good. And Darcy's getting pissed. It's like almost morning time. It's like getting close to dawn. And he's like, this should be fucking done already. We got to really like move quick. We got to start cleanup. So he takes Clark and another guy and they start leaving, and he leaves Gabe and two other guys in charge. He's like, go in there and fucking finish it. And they leave one of the dogs with too. And the dog has been shot from the first attack, and Clark like injects it with something and says this should keep him alive for another hour. And like, it would be mean a lot to me if he died with meat in his teeth. And so he wants him to like go in for one final kill. And
people are horrible.
Before Darcy leaves, he gives Gabe some red laces and says, you earned these tonight. Or he said, you already earned these before, but tonight, you know, sealed it. And gives Gabe the laces. And then he heads out with Clark and another guy to go start the cleanup and staging. Amber and Pat are sitting on the couch. And Amber says, hey, I want the rest of your pep talk. And Pat says, oh, well, yeah, we were just like completely, or he says, well, it doesn't really apply anymore. And she's like, oh, that's okay. I just want to hear it. And he's like, well, we were completely like, we were just getting our asses kicked. And she's like, sounds like it applies. He's like, we were getting our asses kicked. And then eventually my buddy Rick Silva was just like, I'm just gonna fucking do it. And he just ran out, didn't care how many times he got shot. He just like, they opened the gate and he just ran straight to their den and just fucking shot him, and we all followed. And it was like we were playing real war, and we just fucking went all out, all offense. And then we won the last round. And it's like, but we can't do real war here. And she says, Well, let's pretend. And she walks over, well, bumbles over with her two fucked up legs, gets a Sharpie, turns back to him, says, let's pretend. Then we see Gabe and the two guys come into the bar. The two guys are being tasked with killing Pat and Amber, and Gabe is starting to clean up the bodies. Like, he starts with behind the bar, the dead bartender and Daniel, and he's like power washing shit. And
amazing that that bar is still so gross. You gotta really clean it to get those bodies out.
And so the two guys bust down this door, and Pat is just standing there and facing away from the door, and they have a gun now. They only have 3 bullets. They said that before they came in, and Clark says, good, you have one extra. Like, go fucking finish it. And
so now they can use guns?
Yeah, I guess confused. So. He says forensics isn't a concern anymore, is what Darcy
basically
said.
Just maybe just trying to fucking end it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a bigger problem if they're not dead by the morning.
Yeah.
And so Pat turns around, and we see that he has like Sharpied like camo on his face. He has buzzed his head as well, and he's like wearing.
When did he have time to do that?
I mean, I think they were gearing up. They're playing war now.
I guess in a room at a Nazi bar, there's probably clippers.
Yeah, they're all skinheads.
Yeah.
And yeah, they have to psych themselves up.
Yeah.
And he's got his like jacket on now, and he looks fucking ready. And he turns around, and then he jumps into the drug lab part and he's got a machete, and he just starts screaming and like swinging the machete. Like, he's just like, ah, like making noise. Like, nobody's down there. He's just like trying to be like, I'm fucking ready. Like, come on down. And they are like kneeling at the edge of the entrance to the drug lab. He said, one of the guys says to the other guy, like, give me the shotgun. He's like, no, I got the shotgun. And he's like, well, then you fucking go down there. Like, no. And so he gives him the shotgun, and the guy drops down with the shotgun. And he's like slowly walking, and we see that Pat has now ducked in a little corner in the back of the drug lab. And the guy's like moving closer to him, and we see the guy up in the green room, like kneeling, looking over the little ledge into the drug den. And from behind him, we see Amber coming out from underneath the couch cushions, like she was hiding in the bottom of the couch. And she also has her face painted all camo. And she like sneaks out quietly. We see she's got a box cutter in hand. And downstairs, we see the guy with the shotgun kind of move. He's like, he realizes that this isn't like a good situation. And he like starts backing up, and he says to the other guy, he's like, go get Gabe. Like, we need 2 people down here and 2 people up there. Like, we need more people in this. And as he like turns up to look at his friend, Amber dives right in and slits that throat. And as she does that, he shoots up at her, and she like steps back. He doesn't get her, but then she yells down, Pat, he only has 2 shots left. Like they're counting his bullets. And then she sprays the fire extinguisher down there, so it gets like cloudy and hard for him to see. And then 2 legs like come down from the front, and he like turns his shotgun towards it. And then he's like, nice fucking try. And she was like dangling his friend's legs through the entrance to try to get him to shoot another shot. And she drops his body down. And then the guy starts going back to try to get Pat again, and starts making his way towards the back. And Pat makes a noise and kind of like charges out at him with the machete, and then kind of falls back, and he shoots at him and misses. And she says, only one left. And we see legs come down like she's climbing in, and he turns and shoots again and hits the legs. And it was Emily's dead body. And then we see her up at the top being, saying zero left. So he has no bullets left. And she has a gun now from, I guess the other guy had a gun, like a handgun. Pat charges at the guy downstairs with the machete. Pat gets the shotgun from him and starts loading it up with more shells because he has shotgun shells in his pockets that they had gotten up from the bar upstairs. But she can't load it very quickly. His arm's so super fucked up. And so then the guy is like charging at him and they're like wrestling for the shotgun. Pat is like screaming in pain because he's trying to hold it like with his fucked up arm and he's like pulling it against his fucked up arm. And Amber drops down and with the handgun shoots him in the neck and the head. He topples over.
He's dead.
And blood squirts from his bullet holes. And she says, I got him.
Yeah.
Damn, Amber coming through. Jesus Christ.
So then they climb out from the drug lab and Gabe comes into the green room in his like cleaning outfit. He's like wearing gloves and an apron. And he looks pretty shocked to see them, but he doesn't make any move to attack them or anything. He says, if I had known, and then they've got the shotgun and a handgun now, and they're pointing it at him, and they say, any more dogs? He says, no. The dog that they had brought in, they had put more feedback on in their room. In the green room, there was a microphone, so they just did the same trick again, and the dog freaked out and got away from the two guys, so it just ran outside, so it's just like in the woods now. So there's no more dogs. She says, any more people? No more people. It's just Gabe. And so they basically lead him at gunpoint out of the bar. And they're walking with him and they walk into the woods and he's like, are you going to kill me? And she says, like, we're going to go to the orchard. And we're going to call the police. And as they're walking through the woods, they hear a gunshot. And he said, Pat says, what's that? And Gabe says, you don't want to see what they're doing over there. Trust me. And Pat says, did you see my friends die? All three of them. And he says, I saw two out of three of them die. The third one, we saw that actually Reese didn't fully die after they stabbed him. He's still like choking on his blood. And Darcy had said, like, just let him bleed. A later time of death is better for us. And so Pat says, I think I'm going to go over there. And Amber says, you go to the orchard. She's talking to Gabe. And she says, you go to the orchard and call the fucking police or I'll find you and I'll kill you. And he says, I will. Like, I will. I promise I will. And
why are we trusting Gabe all of a sudden? That doesn't make any sense.
Again, like, it seems like he knew about Daniel and Amber and didn't say anything. Like, he was watching them in the beginning. So he, like,
he's a good Nazi.
He's not the worst of them.
Okay, sure.
And he says something when they first see him. I thought he says, I want to go to jail, but I put
you might want to be released from this.
Right, like, this life seems very bad. Like, I feel like after this night, I would be like, fuck it. Like, I'd rather go to jail. I'd rather be in jail than in this
under
fucking...
under this guy's thumb. Yeah.
But I turned closed captions on and it said, I don't want to go to jail. But I think he says, I want to go to jail. Anyways, I feel like it makes more sense. Anyway, so I'm not sure, but he does seem like more trustworthy than any of the other ones.
Okay.
And Amber says, I'm going with you to Pat and to Gabe. She's like, you go to the orchard, you call the cops. And Pat's like, all right, let's do it. And we see them climb down this little hill and they see their a van with Clark and one of the other guys kind of cleaning things up, kind of wiping things down or whatever. And Clark has one of the dogs, and Pat sneaks up and points a gun at the guy number one, and Amber sneaks up on Clark and the dog and got them with the shotgun. And Pat says to the guy, like, give me your gun. And he says, I don't have a gun. And he says, I'm going to shoot you either way, so you better fucking give me a gun. Like, even if you don't have one, I don't care. Like, and the guy gives him a gun. And he's like, he makes him throw it and is then taking him at gunpoint. They're kind of walking, and Amber makes Clark tie up the dog, and they're walking, both of them, at gunpoint towards the van. Further up down the road is where the Ain't Rights van is at. And we see that the three other bodies are like sprawled out on the ground, all with their dog bites and stab wounds. And we see the beware of dog sign on the gate. And we see Darcy has set it up to be that they were siphoning gas from this other car. And so there's like a setup where the like tube is going into this other car, and their bodies are like strewn about beside the car. And Darcy turns around, sees them coming at gunpoint, and Pat says, like, this, you wouldn't use a rag here. Rag is to seal it. Like, this looks bad. And like pulls it out. And then Clark kind of makes a fast move. He's like, well, like, trying to, like, I don't know, do something. And Amber just shoots him and in the stomach. And Pat kind of turns to her. He's like, we're doing that? She's like, why did you think we came down here? And he's like, I don't know. I thought we were going to mess with the crime scene. And she says, I thought we could make a new crime scene. And the other guy goes and stands with Darcy, and they both have their hands up, and Amber and Pat both have their guns drawn facing at both of them. And Pat says, it's funny, you were so scary at night. It's like dawn now, it's light out, getting light outside. And Darcy turns to run, and they shoot both of them a whole bunch of times. They shoot Darcy like four times, and he pulls a gun out and turns to shoot back, but they shoot him in the head at the last second, and he like fires a shot, but he misses them, and they both die. And that's the last of the Nazis.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
I wasn't expecting them to pull that off, but wow.
And then we see Gabe get to the orchard, and he tells people there, he just says we need the police. So the police are being called, and then we see Cowcatcher in their little drug den, and they're dead. He has given them poisoned heroin.
That makes sense.
And that was Darcy's plan for them, so they're all dead. And we see Pat and Amber now sitting on the side of the road, basically waiting for the cops, and the pit bull that has gotten loose is walking towards them, and it's looking like really sad. I mean, it's like dying and doesn't look aggressive at this moment, but they both pull their guns and like pull the triggers, and they don't have any bullets left. So they both are just like click, click, click. And the dog just walks right past them, and it goes and lays with Clark, the owner, and just lays on him. And then they're sitting there, and Pat says, I know what it is. And Amber says, what? You know, what is? He says, my band, my Desert Island band. And she goes, tell someone who gives a shit. That's the end of the movie.
What? What is this fucking movie?
Wow.
Wait, what? What? I do not know how you recover from that experience. That is a
I believe that you do.
I don't think so.
Insane thing to happen to a person. Wow, I hated it. I didn't hate it as much as I hated Funny Games, but it was close. I really did not enjoy having to listen to everything that happened in that
movie.
It's
tough. It's tough for sure.
It's pretty relentless. Damn.
I mean, it's just, yeah, it's nonstop. And you know what I mean now? By it's just like your adrenaline just is coursing the whole time.
Yes. It's definitely adrenaline fueled.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oof. Oof.
The performances are great. I mean, obviously, this is not an easy movie. I don't know if it's double. I guess it's maybe double Black Diamond. It's definitely Deep End. It's a Deep End one. This is not a starter horror film.
No.
You know, there in some ways, it's like worse than Saw, because in Saw, at least it's all orchestrated in advance. And there's kind of this like, it's almost corny in a way, parts of it. And this is just like psychopathic people being psychopaths.
This is also much gorier than Saw. As we talked about before, Saw doesn't actually really show anything, really.
And right. That this is just entirely like wrong place, wrong time. Like there's like they didn't like do anything to get. Yeah. I mean, they made a bad choice to take the gig at the Nazi bar, but like they just happened to walk into a room and see something they shouldn't have seen, and then they all die.
Mm-hmm.
Because
in a horrible way, in a horrible, long, drawn out way.
Yep. Yep. Oh boy.
And it was because she forgot her phone in the green room.
Fucking leaving the phone. I know. It's like, if you had your phone, it would have been fine.
I hate
they
that.
Were ushering them out. They were like, here you go. Here's your money. Leave.
Oh my God. Because in all of these movies, all you can do is try to put yourself, like, what you do, of course, is you're like, what would I do in that situation?
Right.
It's like, I would definitely die. No way.
I hope we never find out.
I hope we never find out. I hope that for us.
Mm-hmm. Oof. That was a tough one.
That was a tough
Yikes.
One. But it's damn good.
Well, you know what? I am glad to have heard about it, because it was one I knew I was going to have to eventually.
Yeah.
And now I know
now
what
you
happens
know.
In it. And I forgot that we were doing it until right before we started recording. So in a way, this was maybe the best way for me to go into it. Mm-hmm. I didn't dread mm-hmm. it because I forgot that I had to experience it. mm-hmm. So that's good.
Yeah, it's a combination of all my least favorite things. It could happen in real life. It's real people doing real bad things. It's modern day, which, you know, feels more like immediate to me.
Sure.
Nazis.
Gore, not Nazis, evil Nazis.
Not the good kind.
Blades. Too many blades.
So many blades. A variety of blades.
So many blades.
Dirty bar.
Oh, yeah, fluorescent lighting.
Gruesome deaths, fluorescent lighting, dirty bar. There were so many things about this I hated.
Yeah.
I hated it.
Yeah, this one's a perfectly made for Henley to not like it.
Oh, fuck.
My, oh, my.
All right.
Well, there we go.
There it is. We did it. We never have to do it again.
We never have to do it again. And, you know, just a reminder that Nazis are real and Nazis are bad.
Yeah,
anyone
Nazis
who was
are real
wondering,
and Nazis are bad.
Those are the facts.
Those are the facts.
Fuck Nazis.
So what's your guys' Desert Island band?
Oh, good question.
You know that I like don't understand how to listen to music.
I was going
to
say, it's like not a very fun question for me because I notoriously don't like music.
Yeah.
I would probably say something really embarrassing like Taylor Swift.
I think I would say Queen. Or ABBA.
Oh my God, being on a desert island stranded and just dancing to ABBA sounds like really fun. I don't think I listened I don't think I've listened to a single band in my whole life. Now that you asked me that question.
All right.
That's crazy. That's a crazy thing to say.
So maybe like, I don't know if this does count as a band, but like, how do you say his name? George Ben-Jor. He's like, loungy, like bossa nova-y, like, I would do that probably.
That sounds sure. Sounds nice.
Just vibes, you know?
Just some vibes.
Vibes. Mm-hmm.
Don't, listeners, don't get on us about, I just, music is overwhelming.
Yeah, it's true.
So.
I like music, but I still said Taylor Swift. Everyone would pick something embarrassing. I think that's the secret to that question.
I mean, Britney Spears is definitely in contention for me.
Oh. Prince also is a really good answer.
Prince is a good one.
Legitimately.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listeners, tell us your desert island bands. We'd love to know.
We'd love to know.
And should we do a metal scream goodbye?
Yeah, sure. Let's do that.
Yeah, ready? Okay. Yeah.
From all of us here at Too Scary, didn't watch. First of all, Nazi punks, fuck off.
Nazi punks, fuck mm-hmm. off.
And goodbye.
Goodbye.
You did it. You made it through. I hope you still will continue to listen to this podcast. And if you want to continue to listen to this podcast, a great way to do so would be by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts. You could also show us some extra love by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts. You can also support us by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/TSDW podcast, where we release 2 bonus episodes a month for the members of Tony fucking Collette's inner circle. You can also follow us on social media at TSDW podcast on Instagram and Twitter. And starting tomorrow, we will be posting polls on our Instagram so you guys can help us choose some of the movies that we're going to be covering this month. Okie dokie, we will see you here next week. We love you. Bye-bye.